Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tezvav. We are holding on toward the bottom of daf Yud Daled Amud Beis Hekdeshos B'Shlosha, third wide line. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, L'Zchus Refuah Shleima for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida Yisrael Refuah Shleima B'Soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We're going to start out with a discussion of how many people are needed in order to be Poda Hekdesh, and then the Gemara is going to move on to, meaning we're essentially going through each line of the Mishnah now, where the Mishnah identified all sorts of different cases and how many dayanim you need for the different types of cases. So it goes much quicker now as we move on from one line to the next line to the next line of the Mishnah. So then we're going to discuss three different explanations of the phrase that the Mishnah uses, an unusual phrase, Arachin HaMetaltalin. Arachin has nothing to do with Metaltalin. So what in the world does that mean? The Gemara is going to have three possibilities. Then we're going to discuss how we know that assessing Karka is supposed to be done or can be done with nine Yisrael Elim and one Kohen. That seems like an odd mix of people that are necessary to be to assess the value of Karka for the purposes of Hagdish. And the Gemara is going to have Machlokas about assessing hair on an Eved, whether the assessment of hair is or, and also when it comes to the Dinim of Me'ila on hair, meaning hair that's ready to be cut off. Do we assume that that has a Din of Mechubar, or do we assume that that has a Din of Talush? The Gemara is going to try to associate that with the general Halacha about produce that's ready to be cut. Do we assume that that has a din of mechuber, that has a din of karka, or do we assume that that has a din of metaltalin, it has a din of talush? The Gemara is then going to discuss the source that a shor that's roveya is judged with 23 dayanim, whether it's roveya a man or whether it's roveya a woman. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to get into how we know that we don't kill the owner of a shor aniskol, because after all, the Torah says, v'gam ba'alav yumas, which seems pretty explicit that you're supposed to kill the owner, and yet we don't. So how do we know that we don't kill the owner of a shor aniskol? And then we're going to have a machlokas whether you can kill a wild animal that never killed yet. Meaning, let's say it's the kind of animal that would kill. It's a bear, it's a, you know, a leopard, something like that. A wild beast that you would think couldn't be tamed. So we're going to have a machlokas whether you're allowed to make such an assumption that it cannot be tamed, and therefore it's totally hefker and do whatever you want with it. Or no, maybe you have to assume that sometimes these things can be tamed, and whoever owns it, and it's under control of the situation. Then at the very end of the daf, which we probably won't get to today, we're going to have two explanations of what the case of judging a shevet is all about. That you only dan a shevet with the Sanhedrin of 71 judges. How do you dan a shevet? So let's begin. Hahekdeshos b'shlosha, the third wide line of Yud Dalet Amud Beis. So it says, Marakdeshos b'shlosha, masisim d'lo ki aitan. Our mission is against the following tana. D'tanya Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, that even a needle of Hegdish requires 10 people in order to be poda. 3 people is not enough. So it's against our Mishnah. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Domer, Kishmuel. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov fits in very nicely. He assumes like Shmuel, Domer Shmuel Asar Kohanim Ksuvim Beparsha, because the word Kohen appears in the Parsha 10 times, in the Parsha being poda Hegdish 10 times. So it makes sense that you're going to require 10 people in order to evaluate Hegdish for the purposes of Pidyon El Rabbanon Shlosh Minalu. But where did the Rabbanon get the number 3 from, that you need 3 people to be Poda Hegdish? And if you can say, well, it says 3 times Kohen in the Parsha of being Poda Behemos of Hegdish, yeah, but Karkos Dixibu Arba'a Tiski Barba. When it talks about being Poda Karka of Hegdish, it says 4 times Kohen. It says 4 times Kohen. So we should only require 4 people and not 10 people. V'chitei machinami. And if you can say, yeah, in achinami, that's true. Alam etanana karkos tishav kohen. Why then, when it comes to being poda karka, we actually require 10 people? Elamai demishalmi bu asara. Why is there required 10 people by karka? Because of all the partials being poda hegdish. Whether we're talking about being poda metaltlin, being poda behema, being poda karka, all the times altogether that it mentions kohen is a total of 10. So since the last of those 3 partials is the one about being poda karka, so the last time it says Kohen in the Parsha of being poda hegdish is about being poda karka, and it's the 10th time it mentioned the word Kohen in all of those partials together. So we go with the cumulative number, apparently. If that's the case, hekdeshos to mishalmi bushisa, libo shisa, when it talks about being poda behemah tameh of hagdish, where it's it says kohen three times, and that's the fourth, fifth, and sixth time it says kohen in the parshias of being poda hagdish. So you should require six people. So kasha, the Gemara leaves that unresolved, meaning mimanav shuch. If you're going to look at the number of times it says kohen in that type of hagdish, so then by karkach you only need four, because it says four times in that type of hagdish. If you're going to look at the cumulative number, it should be 3, 6, and 10. How come it's 3 and 10? And there is no middle ground, there is no 6. So the Gemara leaves that as a kasha, just like in all the recent cases that we've had, where the Gemara leaves something as a kasha, the Yad Rama is bothered. Why doesn't the Gemara say Tiyufta? It seems to be that this is an unanswerable kasha. So he says, no, maybe it's not such an unanswerable kasha. It could be that you need 3 for Pidyon Hakdeishos, because the Torah says 3 Kohanim, and you don't say that you need 6 Kohanim because it's Nishlam Lashisha with the 3 that it says by Erechin, meaning there's a parsha of Erechin. First it says 3 Kohanim, then by Pidyon Hakdeishos it says 3, and then Pidyon Karka of Hakdeish it says another 4. And nevertheless, you still do need 10 when it comes to Pidyon Karkaos, because once the Torah requires Pidyon Karkaos, requires more for Pidyon Karkaos than it does for Pidyon Metaltalin, because after all, it does say the word Kohanim 4 times by Pidyon Karkaos and only 3 times by Pidyon Metaltalin. Maybe it's mistaber that once it's being megalit to me, the Torah is being megalit to me, that I need more, that you should then accumulate all of the times it says Kohanim in the Parsha, and you would need 10. Meaning it's not so strange that the number for Pidyon Karkaos will be a cumulative number, and the number for Pidyon of Metaltalin of Hekdesh or Pidyon Behemos Tameos of Hekdesh would not be a cumulative number. Because one is talking, when we're talking about Pidyon of Metaltalin of Behemos Tameos, it's talking about, it only mentions 3 times Kohanim, and all the Torah is doing by telling me 4 times Kohanim by Pidyon Karkaos is that it's more. So once it's more, so we could assume that the Torah is trying to set the tone that it should be much more, and therefore we can even use a cumulative number. That's how the Yad Ramah suggests. Okay, says the Gemara further, Ha'arachin, my Arachin HaMetaltalin. The Mishnah spoke about Arachin HaMetaltalin. What is Arachin HaMetaltalin? The Torah teaches us this notion of an Erech, but an Erech is based on the Erech of a person based on their age and their gender. There's no such thing as the Erech of an item that's a Metaltalin. So what does it even mean? First possibility, Amar Gvidil Marav, but Omer Erech Kli Ze'alai. A person says that he is committing to pay the Erech of a particular Kli. Damar Gvidil Marav, Omer Erech Kli Ze'alai, no se damav. If a person makes such a commitment to pay the Erech of a certain Kli, he pays the damim of that Kli. He pays the monetary value of that Kli. My taima, why would he pay the monetary value of the Kli? That's not what he committed to. He committed to pay the Erech of the Kli. It's because Adam Yodei Hashein Erech L'Kli. A person is well aware that there's no such thing as an Erech for a Kli, and therefore Gam Avramar L'Shum Damim. We have to assume that he meant to say that he's going to pay the actual value of the Kli. Mishamachi, no Sein Damav. And that's why he gives the Damim. So says Gemara, but hi Erechana Metaltalin, Arachin Shel Metaltalin Mibayalei. If that were the case, then the Mishnah uses the wrong phrase. It shouldn't say Arachin HaMetaltalin, movable Arachin. It should say the Arachin of Metaltalin. That when I make an Erech on Metaltalin, I really mean the Damim. So Tani Arachin Shel Metaltalin. Okay, so change the Mishnah, change the wording a little bit, make it Arachin Shel Metaltalin. Now, in our Gemara, it seems clear that even though the word Erech doesn't apply to a Kli, because the whole Parsha of Arachin is only by Adam, if a person says Erech Kli Ze'alai, you give the value because he knows what he's saying. He knows that there's no such thing as an Erech of a Kli. Obviously, he meant to give the value. There is a Sugya in Arachin and Daf Heyam and Aleph, Mesech Arachin. There's a Machlokas Harmer and the Chamin. If a person is Ma'arich Pachos Mi Ben Chodesh, the earliest age, the youngest age that a person has an Erech is when he's 30 days old. What if I take a 2-week-old baby? I say, I'm going to give the Erech of that 2-week-old baby. So according to the Chamin, Lo Amar Klum, because there is no Erech for someone who's Pachos Mi Ben Chodesh. According to Rameir, you give the damim, you give the monetary value on the slave market of that 2-week-old baby, because Ein Adam Motzi Devar Levatala. We assume a person doesn't waste his words. He's not just saying he knows that there's no erech for someone who's less than a month old, and you must mean to give the damim. So the chacham hold that adam motzi dvar v'levatala. People speak nonsense all the time. You don't need a raya for that. Just listen to people talk. People speak nonsense all the time. So a person is motzi dvar v'levatala sometimes. So the Gemara over there says that Rav, the Gemara quotes Rav over there, says that someone who says erech, kli, a lie, is nosei damav, that's kishitas rameir. Then ain't adam motzi dvar v'levatala. Because according to the chachamim, if you say erech kli ze alai, it would be the same as saying erech this 2 week old alai, which is nothing. That a person is motzi dvarav levatala. So the Rishonim are bothered that the Gemara in Gittin tells us that Rabba says in the name of Rav, hamakdish avdo yotze l'cheirus, because he can't be makdish the eved himself. So the adon must not mean to be makdish the eved. He must be he never said he's being makdish the value of the eved. It must mean what he really wanted to do was to be meshacher the eved, and he went to say that the eved is part of the am kadosh. That's makdish avdo, that he's a part of the Jewish people by being meshacher him. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Meir, that a person is not motzi dvar levatala, then you have to assume he meant he wants to give the value of the eved to hagdish, even though he didn't say so beferish, because he wouldn't say something that's nonsense. So apparently, Rav doesn't hold like Shitas Rav Meir. Yet in our sugya, apparently Rav does hold like Shitas Rabbi Meir, meaning Rav is the one that said that if you hold that making an erech of a 2 week old is worthless, then you also hold that making the erech of a kli is worthless, and you don't have to give anything; it's an absolute zero. And that's the shita of the chachamim. In Gittin, Rav beferish paskins against Rabbi Meir like the chachamim. So how come over here Rav is willing to say that when you say erech of a kli, you actually mean the damim of the kli? So this is the kasha that Tosus raises in the top Tosus. And Tosus suggests that even Rav is mamad the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, but he doesn't hold like Rabbi Meir. I mean, he doesn't have to paskin like Rabbi Meir, he just has to explain the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Stam Mishnah, so he explains Stam Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir. Furthermore, he suggests that in Maseches Gittin, there's actually Machlokes Amoraim, what Rav actually holds. That Rabba holds in the name of Rav, Makdash Avdo Yatzel Cherus. Rav Yosef says in the name of Rav, Mafkir Avdo Yatzel Cherus, but Makdash Avdo is not Yatzel Cherus, because he actually wants to be Makdash the dumb of the Eved. So it turns out that Rav Yosef thinks Rav does Paskin like Rabbi Meir. So our sugya might be going within Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav, that Rav in fact does Paskin like Rabbi Meir. So this sugya can only be learned together with those other sugyas, meaning the only way to really make sense of this sugya is when you see the whole picture. But now the Gemara says a second possibility. What does it mean, Arachna Metaltalin? Rav Chista Maravimi bin Matfis Metaltalin La Arachin. A guy says, I'm giving my own erech. Good, so he has an erech. Then he takes a whole bunch of metaltalin and he says, this metaltalin is kadosh to pay my erech. It is hereby hagdish and it's going to go pay my erech. Hay arachna metaltalin, metaltalin shel arachin mi bayilei. Then it shouldn't say arachna metaltalin. The phrase should have been metaltalin shel arachin. Says maratini, metaltalin shel arachin. So change it. Let that be what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Avo Omer, a third possibility. But Omer erki alai, a guy says, I'm going to give my erech to the Beis HaMikdash, and he never paid up. So ba kohen ligvos mimenu, the kohen comes to collect from him. Metaltalin bishlosha, karkaos basara. Depends what the kohen is going to confiscate from him as payment for his erech vow. If the kohen is going to take metaltalin from him, he needs three people to assess the value of that metaltalin. But if he's going to take karka from him, then he needs 10 people to assess the value of the karka. Amle revachem idifti the ravina bishlam lafuki mehegdash bein and shlosha ela yuli lahegdash shlosha lami. Well, wait. The first two understandings were that the metaltalin was hegdish already, and it was about taking it back from hegdish, being poda from hegdish. So I understand that you need three people for. But to make something hegdish, why in the world would I need three people to make something hegdish? Just make it hegdish. Well, what would you need three for? Samle svaru mali yuli mali afuke. Well, why would it make a difference? Afuke my time. Well, what's the only reason you need three people to take something away from hegdish? Dilmatai, you were afraid they're going to make a mistake and assess it incorrectly, and that would be terrible. Well, when they're making something hagdish, they want to make sure that they get the assessment correct as well, and therefore you need three people. The question is, what was the svar of Rav Achim Yedifti that he says, I understand, you know, la yule, la fuke, la mali? Well, of course, why would there be a difference? The Gemara is answer is too good. Mali ayuli, mali afuke, meaning, of course, you don't want to make a mistake. You want it to be exactly right. What was the havamina? So in the Tosus Chachmei Anglia, they suggest that the machlokas is really a fundamental machlokas as to the reason that you need three people by pidyon hekdeshos. Why is it when I'm being poda hegdish, I need three people to assess the value of the hegdish that I'm being poda? Rav Acha holds the reason you need three people is not because you might assess it at less than its value. Because if that actually happens, okay, so you'll realize the mistake, and then you'll reimburse, and you'll pay a little extra money to whatever it is that you owe to Hegdish. It's not about the Dini Mamanis Shabo, that you might be cheating Hegdish out of money, because that could be corrected. That could be corrected at a later date, when you figure it out. No, the real reason is that if you're Mechalel Hegdish Bipachos Mishavyo, for less than its actual value, the Hegdish is not actually Yotzei L'chulin. It could be that it's not a valid pidyon at all. The Hegdish remains Hegdish, and therefore when you get Hanah from it, forget Dini Mamnis, you get Hanah from it, you're in violation of Me'ila, because it's still Hegdish. You thought you were Poded, but you assessed it all wrong, and therefore it's still Kodesh. That's why you need three people to make sure you get it right. If that's the case, he says, then there's no reason to require three people when I'm making something Hegdish. Why would that? There's no risk of Me'ila when it comes to making something Hegdish. That must be what Rav Acha held. And then the Gemara says, no, the whole thing is, we want to make sure we get it right. We're afraid that we're not going to catch our mistakes, even in Dine Mamnus, that the Dine Mamnus Shabo is enough of a concern that we want to make sure to get it right, whether it be La Ayule or La Afuke. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Rav Yehuda Omer, Omer Pablabai, Bishon Rabbi Dinah Dechsev Kohen, El Rabbein Kohen Lamalahu. According to Rav Yehuda, that in order to assess a land of Hegdish, you need a Kohen to be involved. So I understand very well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it says Kohen. But according to the Rabbanan, why does it say Kohen? Kasha. The Gemara says, okay, that's taka difficult, why it says Kohen. So again, it doesn't say Tiyufta. And again, the Yad Rama, or the Gilyon on the Yad Rama, says that it could be that the Rabbanan or Moda, that L'chadchila, one of them needs to be a Kohen. That's why it says Kohen, because of a din L'chadchila, and it's just that it's not Ma'akev B'dieved. The Torah Chaim suggests that it doesn't say Tiyufta, because you could explain within the Shita of the Rabbanan that it was mistavered to them, that it says Kohen in the Parsha of Arachin to teach about the din of Karkaos, because Karkaos, we find, are more chomer than Arachin. Karkaos are nifta only with 10 people. Arachin are niftes with 3 people. So it could be that it's the Torah's machmir b'din Karkaos to require Kohen by Karka, but it's not really nogea to the Parsha of Arachin at all. Says Gemara further, are Karkaos tisha v'kohen. When it comes to Karka, you need 9 people and a Kohen. 9 Yisraelim and a Kohen. Minani mili, where do we get that? That's a strange number to require, that 9 Yisraelim and a Kohen. So Amar Shmuel, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Beparsha. It says Kohen in the Parsha 10 times, chad legufei, one to tell me that you actually need a Kohen, Hanach, and the rest of them, have a miyut achar miyut, are all a miyut achar miyut, ve miyut achar miyut al the rabbos. And whenever you have a double exclusion, it always comes to include something. So if it says Kohen, Kohen, it means Yisrael, because it's being more expansive. So every single other time it says Kohen, it means Yisrael. Da'afilu tes Yisrael, ve'achad Kohen. Therefore, you can have 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. So Masmar Funer Breder of Nasan, Emachamim. Wait a second. Is that how to darshan the miyut achar miyut? Shouldn't the miyut achar miyut say that the first time is Kohen, second time is a miyut achar miyut? Now you start with a clean slate. Third time is Kohen. Fourth time is another miyut achar miyut. So it should keep switching off, and it should be 5 Yisraelim and 5 Kohanim. Why do we keep a cumulative miyut achar miyut? It shouldn't work that way. So Gemara says, Kasha, we leave this unresolved as well. We leave that without any resolution. I didn't see if the Yad Rama deals with that, Kasha, why that one is not a tiyufta, although you could imagine that that one's not a tiyufta, because it's just a question of the derech of a drush of miyut achar miyut. Meaning it's not so crazy to think that miyut achar miyut is going to, it means that you could take, you could look at just this section and say, oh, this is coming right after another miyut. Who says that you start again, that you start the cheshbon again every two? So that's a kasha, it's not a tiyufta. Tosus raises a fundamental question. Tosus in Maseches Megillah asks the question, why is it that you don't need 11 for pidyon hekdesh, for karkaos. Why is that? You don't need, after all, ein bezin shakul mosifin alei morechad. How many times have we said that already? This mesechta that you can't have an even number of dayanim, since you can't have an even number of dayanim, we always add one more to make it an odd number of dayanim. So the number of the rishonim are bothered by this kasha, the Rashba, the Ritva, and they suggest that once the Torah tells us beferish that it's 10, the Torah doesn't actually say beferish, but it says the word kohen 10 times, so once the Torah is megalit to us an unusual number, so that number must be exeris hakasav. If we were talking about numbers that you would typically find by a beis din, the Torah would say 2, so okay, so it means 3. If it would say 22, it might mean 23. But an unusual number, 10, it must be that's exeris hakasav, that you need 10, and that you don't need any more than that. Some of the achronim suggest differently, though. The Turei Evan and Maseches Megillah suggest that the din of Ein Beis and Shakel is talking about in a case where you follow the Das Rov Hadayanim. That's why you need to be mosif, an extra one, so that you can make sure you have a rov. You have to make sure you have a majority and it doesn't split down the middle. Over here, you don't follow the majority of the Dayanim. They all have to agree. I mean, the point of getting 10 together is that they may start with different opinions, but they have to get to come to some sort of agreement where they all agree. Well, they all have to agree anyway. Then what's the point of having an odd number of Dayanim? So that's how the Turei Evan suggests. The Kol HaRamaz suggests something similar, not exactly the same, that, you know, when do we need an odd number of Dayanim? When the options are Chayiv or Pater. Good, so you need an odd number of Dayanim, because you don't want one guy saying Chayiv, one guy saying Pater. Yeah, no, you need a third guy to be Machriya. But when the possibilities are endless, this one will say it's $10, $11, $10.50, $10.70. Yeah, the possibilities are across a broad spectrum, so then having an odd number of Dayanim doesn't really help. It won't really accomplish anything anyway. So that's why maybe you don't need an odd number of Dayanim. But there are several other answers that Achronim give to this question. It's just something that to keep on the radar, that this is unusual. In almost every other case where we thought we had an even number of Dayanim, the Gemara always threw in an extra dayan, because ain't bezin shakul. V'adam kayotzibel. We said also for being poda, an adam, you need 10 people. Adam mi kadosh. What do you mean, adam? Can a person be kadosh? There's no such thing as an adam being kadosh. So I'm Rabbi Yo, ba'omer dami alai. No, it means if a person says that his own value, he's committing to hegdish. Titania, omer dami alai, shaman also kevinanim kabashuk. If a person says he's committing his value to hegdish, we evaluate him as an eved. The eved is kishla karkos, and an eved is like karka, and therefore we evaluate him based on 10 people. The Rishon Rabbah, why didn't the Gemara just say, you know, once we're going to talk about the possibility of being Makdish and Eved anyway, so why don't we just say, when you say Adam Kayotze Ben, that it means that you're Makdish, you're Eved, right? We have such a roundabout way of doing it. Well, what does it mean when you say Adam Kayotze Ben? I'm Makdish my own value. How do I figure out my value? Oh, I look at myself like I'm an Eved. Can't you just cut to the chase and say, I'm Makdish and Eved? That's an Adam Kayotze Ben. The Eved is an actual human being. He's a person. So that's what the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah means. So some of the Rishonim suggest that the Lashon of Adam sounds like we're not talking about an Eved. If it would have meant Eved, it would have said Eved Beferish. It would not have used the term Adam. That's how Tosos suggests in his first teretz over here, that right, Tosos in Dibur Masal Adam Yikadosh Vim Tomar V'lukma Be'Eved Yikadosh Kedar Minim B'Samach T'mal In B'Sarov Arm V'Shalech Amakdash Chas V'Yibem Avadim Enegz V'Rom Rosh Alatsim L'Cheres V'Yishlomar De'Adam L'Mash M'Lei De'Kaya Eved. Inami, second answer to us says, Hacha parachali b'de Rav, damar makdash avdo yatzal cheirus. Over here we're asking within Shitas Rav that someone who's makdash avdo, you cannot be makdash revet. You're makdash revet, you mean to say he's part of an am kadosh and he's yotzal cheirus. Okay, another Rishonim have different answers. Boyer Rabbi Avin, Seyar omid ligozis bekama. What about if I want to assess the value of hair that's ready to be cut? Is this a daf yomi coincidence toward the end of the 3 weeks when so many of us have hair that's ready to be cut? Seyar omid ligozis. So kigazas domi b'shlosha, do we treat it as if it's already cut and therefore it's metaltalin and you assess it with 3 dayanim? O kemechubar domi b'asaro, or do we say that it's considered like mechubar and you assess it with 10 dayanim? So tashma amak tshavdo ein molin bo. If we makdish your eved, he's not not subject to Me'ilah. There is Me'ilah on his hair, because there's only Me'ilah metaltin. There's no Me'ilah on Karka. So the Eved himself is Karka. But the hair is metaltin, apparently. What's the machlokas about? Whether we're talking about hair that's ready to be cut. Shema mina. So you see that there is this machlokas, whether hair that's ready to be cut is considered kigazuz or not kigazuz. There is a tshuvas chsam sofer that raised a whole tumult amongst the achronim. In Yerdeh Sim Kuf Tzadihei, the chsam sofer discusses why it is that those Hungarian women who had the practice of shaving their head after the Bia Rishon, after Bias Mitzvah, right after they got married, why it is that their hair when they went to the mikvah the first time before their wedding was not a chatzitza. Meaning if you hold that Seyar Omid Ligazuz is Kigazel's dummy, that anything that's Omid Ligazel's, it's as if it's Guzzle's dummy, so then the hair that was, it's Omid Ligazel's, it's going to be cut off as soon as they do the B'yas Mitzvah, so shouldn't it therefore be a Chatzitza when they go to the mitzvah, because it's Kigazel's, it's like a foreign substance on their body. So some server struggles with this. He has a couple of suggestions. One of his suggestions, I think, is that Omid Li means that there's nothing else that has to fall into place before this happens. Omid Ligazel's means that it could be gazes right now. You can cut it right now. But if the minhag was that they would never do it till the Bia Rishona, till after the Bias Mitzvah, so then it's not Omid the Gazes. It only becomes Omid the Gazes after the Bias Mitzvah, which is hopefully after she already went to the mitzvah. So therefore the hair is not going to be a chatzitza. But the Achronim are bothered by that, by what the Chassam Sofer was even bothered by, based on the next couple of lines of Gemara. Says the Gemara, this whole machlok is about Tzeir Omid the Gazes. Neima hani tanai kahani tanai. Maybe they argue about the same machlokas that the following Tanaim argue about. It's not Rameir Omer Yeshram Shem Kikarka Vein Kikarka Vein Chacham Modim Lo. That the Chacham say that there are certain things that are like Karka but don't have a din of Karka, and the Chacham disagree. Ketzad Eser Gefanim Tunos Masarti Lach Va'alomer Einin El Chamesh. You have what seems like a classic case of Modim B'Miktsas, except we're talking about vines that have grapes on the vines. Now the halacha is the din of Modim B'Miktsas is that you're chayiv a shvua d'oraisa when you're modeh b'miktsas, unless what you're modeh b'miktsas on is karka. There is no shvua d'oraisa modeh b'miktsas on karka. What if you're modeh b'miktsas on grapes that are still on the vine but could be cut from the vine or fully ripened and could be cut from the vine? So Rameir mechayiv v'chamram kol mechubel karka reyu kekarka. Rameir says you chayiv, it has a din of metaltalin, it's kolomei libatzer, it's kibatzer dami, and the chum say no, it's karka. V'am Rabbi Yosef b'chanina ba'an. And they're talking about grapes that are ready to be harvested. If you hold your chayiv shvu d'oraisa, it's because you think it has a din of metaltalin. If you hold that you're not chayiv shvu d'oraisa, it's because you think it doesn't have a din of metaltalin. Isn't that the same machlokas about the hair? Says Merlo. Afilutim Rameir, who thinks that Am Novim Omdos Libatzer are Kibitzuros Damyan, might agree that hair that's Omid Ligazes is not Kigazos Dami. Why? What's the difference? Ad Kalokar Meir Asam Kolkam de Shavkalu Michash Kachshi, Avulsaru Kolkam de Shavkalu Ashpuchem Ashbach. That the longer you leave ripened fruit attached to the ground, the worse it's going to get. If you don't pick it at the right time, it's going to ultimately rot on the tree. But the longer you leave hair growing, the more beautiful the hair gets, the longer and nicer the hair gets. So it becomes a meshubach when you leave it growing. So that's it. That you can't say that it's kigazuz dummy, even though the person might feel like he needs a haircut. But as far as the hair itself is concerned, the hair itself is going to become nicer and stronger as it continues to grow. So that's why a lot of the achronim are bothered by what the chassam sofer's kashi even was. The Gemara's maskana is that when it comes to seir omid ligazes, is that it's not really kigazuz dummy. That all the Tanaim would hold that it's not really Kigazuz Dami. That they would say that it only is that it only improves over time. So the Achronim struggle to work on that Chassam Sofer. Some of the Achronim, they treat the Chassam Sofer like a Rishon. That you have to explain every line of Chassam Sofer. They have good Terutzim for Chassam Sofer, but they work on what the Chassam Sofer was actually bothered by over there. And it could be that it has something to do with Rashi talks about over here, what they would use the hair for. They would make kelim out of hair, that the hair was inherently valuable. Some sofers talking in a time where they didn't do that with hair. When you cut hair, you swept it away, you threw it out. So it wasn't inherently valuable. So then he would say that Amid the Gazes is Kugazes dummy, because who cares that the hair is getting better? I don't want it on me. I want to cut it. So then it's going to be Amid the Gazes. Dine nefashos. So we had mentioned that when it comes to killing an animal that's roveya, you need a basin of chaf gimel. So kapazik v'tani losh roveya zachar, losh roveya nekeva, makes no difference whether it's a zachar or that the animal was roveya, or whether it was in a keva that the animal was roveya. So bisham roveya nekeva duksiv arakta si isha v'esa behema. So I understand very well roveya nekeva, it's beferish in the Torah. It says you kill the isha and the behema. So it sounds like there's an isha involved. El roveya zachar minolan. How do I know you need a basin of chaf gimel to kill an animal that's roveya a zachar? Because the pasuk says, "Kol shochev in behema, mos yumas." That if a man is roveya a behema, he's mos yumas. So, mainly in the shochev tenei winyan lenishkav. If it's and we don't need that pasuk to tell me that if a man is roveya behema, he gets killed. We already have another pasuk that that teaches that if a man is shochev in behema, pasuk says isha shar yitein shechvaso, is already gets killed. So what's this pasuk about? It must be if the man is a nishkav from a behema. Va'afkir rachmana b'lashon shochev la'kushe nishkav l'shochev. Why does it say it in lashon shochev to make a hekesh between nishkav and a shochev? Ma shochev hu behema so ba. Asum shlosha af nishkav hu behemto ba asum shlosha. Just like when a guy is shochev, both he and the behema need 23 dayanim. So too the nishkav, when a behema is roveya, a man, so both of them get judged with 23 dayanim. Shara niskal basim shlosha. Shara niskal gets judged with 23 dayanim. Shenemar hashor yisakel v'gamba alav yumas. It says that the shor gets skila and gamba alav yumas. So what does that mean? The owner doesn't get killed. No, what it means is kamisa sabayim kach mis shor. The same way you would kill the owner if he were chayiv misa with 23 dayanim. That's how many dayanim it takes to kill the shor. How do I know that's what the pasuk is teaching me? Maybe it's actually telling me that the owner is chayiv misa. So how do I know that it's not telling me that on the most basic level, that the owner is chayiv misa? So imkein lichtov v'gamba alav v'lishtog. Because if that were the case, it should have just said v'gamba alav, and I would know you do to the owner exactly what you do to the shor. Why does it have to say you must? It must be to tell me that you don't actually kill the owner. Ikas rachmana. He says, no, gamba love would not have taught me to do the same thing to the owner you do to the shor. Have amina beskila, because I would have thought if it just would have said v'gamba love, I would think you give the owner skila. So maybe it says you must to tell me not to give him skila. So says more beskila salkadai. Really, you would have thought to give him skila? Katal ihu besayif. If he himself were to kill somebody, if he were a murderer, he would get sayif. Mamono beskila, we'd really have a havamina that when his animal kills somebody, the owner gets skila. So says Mar Vidilma, I had to cause Rachmana, you must, la akule lave, la fuke misayef lechenek. But still, maybe the word you must doesn't mean he doesn't get killed. Maybe it just means he gets a lesser misa, that he only gets chenek as opposed to sayef. Says Mar, okay, you can interpret the pasuk that way if you hold that it's a lesser misa. So hanich leman, and then you'd have a kasha that maybe the owner taka does get killed. So hanich leman yamar chenek chamer. If yol chenek is more chamer, so I understand why we have our drusha the way we have it, that the man does not get killed at all. El leman yamar chenek kail, but if yol chenek is more kail, mayik lememar, then we're back to our kasha. How do we know the owner doesn't get killed? So lo sal kadai tuchsiv im kofer yusha salav. Pasuk says im kofer yusha salav, that Torah says that he pays when his animal kills. And yet we know that a person who's chayiv misa can't pay his way out of misa. So obviously he's not chayiv misa. Says Mara Adraba, Mishum Higufa, Katalihu Lotiskle Bimona, Elo Biktala, Katal Sharo, Lifrognafshe Bimona. Maybe that's a gufa the chiddish. That if the man himself is a murderer, you're right, he can't pay his way out of a chayiv misa. But maybe the Torah is being machadish to us that if his
his animal kills, he's chayav misa. Elamai, there's an out. He can pay his way out of that misa. That's the difference, maybe, between a man killing and his animal killing, is that he could pay. Ela amar chizkiya v'chein tanu debei chizkiya amar kra mos yimas hamaka rotseachu. No, it's based on the extra words rotseachu. Al ritzichaso atargo v'yatargo al ritzichashoro. That we have a gzeres hakasav that a man can only get killed for his own act of murder, but not for a murder that his animal does. Ibayilahu, shor sinai bekama. Once we're talking about how many dayanim are needed to kill a shor, what about a shor sinai? What's a shor sinai? So Rashi explains, behema shekarva lahar ba'ot shashchina sham. An animal that went on Har Sinai when the Shechina was still there, and the Torah says in behema imish lo yichya, that a behema, a man that goes on Har Sinai, has to get killed when the Shechina was there. So how many dayanim would it take to kill a shor sinai? Mi gamar shah midaros? Alo, do we learn shah Midoros and say that just like Lidoros, when you kill an animal, it's going to be 23 Dayanim. At that moment also, it had to be 23 Dayanim, or no, this is a totally separate halacha. Tashmad the Tari Rami Recheskel im behema im ish, lo yichaya ma ish b'chav gimel, af behema b'chav gimel. The Torah, that when it talks about im behema im ish, lo yichaya, b'mshoch hayovel himi alavahar, the pasuk continues, it's only when they blow the shofar and the Shechina leaves Har Sinai, only then they're allowed to go on the mountain. So we see it says in behema im ish. So it's comparing behema to an ish. That just like obviously an ish would require that goes on the mountain would require 23 dayanim. So too a behema that goes on the mountain would require 23 dayanim. Rishonim are bothered by the kasha. Who told them that an ish that goes on the mountain requires 23 dayanim? Meaning Kabbalah Satorah hadn't happened. This was for Kabbalah Satorah. So we don't have the din of 23 dayanim yet. So some suggest sure we did from Parshas Yisro already. Meaning when Yisro sets up the whole system of Sanhedrin, maybe that predates Matan Torah. Then they try to figure that out, whether that's true. Mashmur Shamu Ba. When exactly did Yisro come? So you have multiple deos in the Medrash, right? So whenever it was, you have to figure that out. But perhaps even a stronger question that Rishonim are bothered by is who cares? Meaning if an animal went up on the mountain, they had qualified rabbis to ask at the time. I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu would have been able to figure it out. So nowadays we don't have to paskin about a Shor Sinai. So what kind of question are we asking about a Shor Sinai? So a number of different answers offered by Rishonim. I don't think we have time to get into too many of them. But most interestingly to me was the Meiri. The Meiri has a couple of terutzim, and one of them he suggests that it's is Larabos Shor Nichnas L'Shilo L'Beis Olamim, that he's also Niskal Kishor Sinai. That a Shor Sinai is not only about going in Har Sinai. The din of Shor Sinai is any time an animal goes in a place where there's an intense form of Hashra'as Hashchina, in the Mishkan Shiloh, in the Beis Olam, the Beis HaMikdash. So that's something that we do have to paskin. And therefore, if that Mi'iri is correct, meaning if you accept that Shita of the Mi'iri, it gives new meaning to that Sugya at the end of Makos, right, where the fox is going on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, it doesn't seem right that animals should be walking on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why is it like such a tragedy? Why is it such a strong... Because they're chayv misa, meaning that's exactly the makom hashras hashchina where they're going, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, according to the Shittas HaMeiri. It's you need to put together a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel and kill such a shor, such a fox, not a shor, a shul, that's holich b'makom Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the Shittas HaMeiri. It also says that the suffix of the Gemara is not really about Shor Sinai. The Gemara is asking a more conceptual question. Are we lomed Shor Midoros? Shor Sinai happens to be the example we give, but probably the issue of whether we're lomed Shor Midoros has many other nafkaminas that have nothing to do with Shor Sinai. So that's why we're really, he says, nafkamina would be for Zman HaZed. Do we learn any sort of din that's noeg Lidoros from a din that's noeg L'Sha'a? And you have sugyas and shas like that that discuss Shor Midoros. Okay, Hariva Ze'ev. Then the Mishnah went on to talk about other wild beasts and the machlokas, whether anyone is just allowed to kill them. So Amrish Lakish, V'ushe Misu, Avalohe Misu Lo, meaning even though the Mishnah had said that anyone could go ahead and kill these wild beasts, that's only if they themselves the animal himself has already killed somebody. But if the animal himself has not yet killed anybody, because the Mishnah had said it's Misasim Basim Shlosha, but Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, just kill it. it. If you see this wild beast, just kill it. It's no problem. You can kill it on your own. So that's what Reish Lakish says, only if the animal is already guilty. Avalo misulo. Alma k'savi yeshlan tarbus. Apparently, Reish Lakish holds these animals can be trained v'yeshlan bailam, and therefore someone might be the owner of it, and you're not allowed to kill it unless it's already guilty. Rabbi Yochanan amar afal pi shalohi misa. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if the animal never killed anybody, alma k'savi ein lem tarbus v'ein lem bailam. Must be that he holds that these types of animals cannot be trained, and therefore there's no ownership of such animals. Tanan, Rabbi Lezer amar kalakodim lahargan zacha. Rabbi Lezer had said, whoever kills them is zocha. Well, bishlam le Rabbi Yochanan lemai zacha, zacha lor. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no one owns them. In what way is he zocha? What has he been kona? He's been kona, the or of the animal. El Reish Lakish lemai zacha. But according to Reish Lakish, what does it mean that he's been kona something? What was he zocha in? Kivin sheimisu shavin rabbanan kimand gamar dinayu visuri anonin. Once you kill it, it's like it had a gemar din and it's asr ba'ana. So how could it be kona anything? So what does zacha mean? So says gemar, no, my zacha, zacha l'shamayim. Zacha means that he did a good thing. He got a mitzvah for ridding the world of a potentially dangerous animal. Tiny kavas Reish Lakish, and we have a brisa that says just like Reish Lakish, that echad shor sheim is vechad beim v'chaya shehimisu b'chav gimel. That only if they killed, it's b'chav gimel. Rabbi Elezer m'shor shehim is pesu m'shlosha, that a shor that kills is 23, v'shar beheim v'chaya shehimisu kalakodim lahargan zach ben l'shamayim. Any other animal that kills, anyone who kills it is zach l'shamayim. That's Rabbi Elezer's shita, and you don't need a Beis Din of 23, but it's only if they actually killed, which is like the Shita of Reish Lakish of Uhu Shei Misu. Just one more line. Rabbi Kiva Omer, so Rabbi Kiva said that no, you need 23 Dayanim. So Rabbi Kiva Hayne Tanakama. Isn't Rabbi Kiva saying the same exact thing as the Tanakama? So he could be Nayan Nachash. Now the difference between them might be he might agree about the Ari and the Bardel, but the Nachash might be the difference. So the Tanakama holds that the Nachash is together with the rest of the animals, and Rabbi Kiva might say that a Nachash is different, and then a Nachash you're allowed to kill on your own. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.